I know the modern translations change words a bit, but I recognize God's power does not change. Amen. Thank God. As many as received him, to them gave he power. Modern translation says the right to become the sons of God. Well, we have the right, but I need the power. Otherwise, I can't make that transition. I can't make that change. I can't be a new creature. But his power brings that. Praise God. And thank the Lord for the authority that he's given. And the challenge that Brother Mike shared on Tuesday night was, what is Pastor Glover going to give us the authority to do? Here it is. Here it is. I give you authority to share the word of God. Amen. Amen. That's no big revelation. We share the word. No, I'm telling you. I give you authority to share the word of God. The power to share that word. Because here's what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you're sharing that word, amen, there's going to be opportunity for you to testify about healing, to testify about miracles, to share your experience of new birth. Hallelujah. That power will be there. Amen. Now, here's why I feel so strongly about that. Brother Mike, get John 17, verse 20. This is the Lord's Prayer. We talk about the Lord's Prayer being, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This is the Lord's Prayer in John 17. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Look at verse 20. Stand and read.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Whose word?
Their word.
The disciples' word. Yes. You. Yes. Your word. Yes. Amen. And how can they believe unless they hear? Amen. Now, I know we get busy. I know there's lots of things going on. But I challenge you. I give you authority to fit those studies in with people. Praise God. If it's at a restaurant or just a quick meeting in town, or you invite them to your home or wherever the situation presents itself, share the word. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the Lord prayed for those that will hear your word. Now, we don't change the word of God. We're not saying that. But your word about the word. That's what the Lord prayed for. Thank God. So don't zip your lip. Don't be backed into a corner. Don't be intimidated. We prayed for boldness Tuesday night. Praise God. Boldness. And I believe the Lord delights in hearing that request, that prayer. And we're trusting God. Amen. Amen. We go to prayer tonight. We continue praying for Brother Rick. Sister Marin Ensley will go for a little ways here about our study on fruit. Fruit. There's a scripture that I want to read in Ephesians 2 and 7 when we get started here. But I can't help but notice verses that would have fit with previous lessons. And I hope that you're doing the same thing as you listen to a lesson, listen to what is presented, and you start thinking about that. You start digesting that in a spiritual format, and you look at more scriptures, and you think, "Wow, there's a verse about that, fruit of the Spirit. There's another verse about it." Praise God! Is that's certainly what happens to me. Last Thursday, we looked at patience. Long-suffering, and Colossians 1:11 came to mind, as I looked into the word of the Lord, or it was one that I read and thought, wow, this would have fit in that lesson very well. And I hope, as I said, I hope you're finding those verses like that also. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. All patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Don't forget that. That's what the Lord adds. Amen. Thank God that he has provided that means for us to be strengthened with all might. And that portion, strengthened with all might, made me think of Ephesians 3:16, where the apostle would pray that we would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Praise God. So stay open to seeing what the Lord is going to show you about how the fruit of the Spirit is going to be manifest in your life. All right, now Ephesians 2 and 7. We're going to move into the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is how the King James renders it. Kindness is how it is translated. All right? Ephesians 2 and 7. Let's read this one together. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Praise God. Now, exceeding riches. Praise God. Interesting to look at the news, read the paper, hear what the Senate is doing, what the House is going to be doing. And the PFD is always right there and real important things. And we look forward to that. But oh my, the exceeding riches that the Lord has for us is what we can have every day. Not just in October, but all the time. Amen. And so kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, kindness we'll be looking at. You may be seated. God bless you. Paul made mention of kindness as evidence of their ministry. In 2 Corinthians 6, he goes down through a list to verify apostolic ministry. And in verse 6, he says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Amen. What a description. And thank God for powerful ministry. Peter gave the command in his second letter to add to your faith. Add to it. Thank God that there's always more that the Lord wants to put on your plate. Now, we talk about having a full plate in terms of difficulty or hardship. And I'm glad the Lord prepares a table before us, even in the presence of our enemy. Amen. And he's always heaping on more and providing more for us. Add to your faith. And in that addition of those seven qualities, kindness, brotherly kindness, is included. So we recognize, good. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness or kindness. And the Scripture admonishes us, put on, Colossians 3 and 12, put on. Now, when the phrase put on is used, we're not talking theatrics. We're not talking acting, you know, and pretending and so on. But it has the idea of being clothed, what you're going to wear. Put on, therefore, Colossians 3 and 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Amen. And thank God for what we can put on in terms of what the Lord provides. The New Living Translation renders it this way. Since God chose you To be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And there, the strength of those qualities come forth very well, and those are the evidences of the fruit that God gets to clothe us or provide us with. Now, remember, too, as I was thinking about the fruit, remember the Lord coming to the fig tree, no figs. He came looking, he came expecting, and nothing there. He didn't just shrug and walk on. There was judgment that came. And we've got to be careful that there's fruit in our lives as well. So we're clothed physically, we're clothed emotionally, we're clothed spiritually. A good question to ask yourself every morning: what kind of attitude am I going to wear today? What kind of attitude? Praise God. We put love in action by being kind. Be ye kind. How many have taught in the toddler class and, you know, the memory verses are real short? Be ye kind. And that's a very concise message, but a very good message. Amen. God's kindness to us is what we rejoice in. Grace for salvation, compassion that's new every morning, love that never fails. Praise God. He's kind to us. And thank God we can extend that kindness. Now, certainly we want people to be kind to us. And so we extend that kindness as the golden rule directs us. Matthew 7 and 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Praise God. And so we get back what we put out. And hopefully it's kindness. Because Proverbs 11:17, I'm hurrying here a little bit. Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Because it comes back to you. And you want to make sure that you're putting out a kindness that is going to come back to you. So the "be ye kind" comes from Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Amen. So, what does a kind person look like? How can you recognize a kind person? Well, it's a lot of action, isn't there? A lot of action, a lot of words that are compassionate, and smiles, and so on. Because there's a sensitivity to people who are hurting. Somebody said, find a need and fill it. Identify a hurt and heal it. And that's good advice. Follow through with those things. Philippians 2 and 4 has always been kind of an odd verse to me. Philippians 2 and 4. Look not on every man on his own things. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking material things. I'm thinking possession. Don't just look on your own things, but look at the things of others. And it would strike my mind as I'm looking at somebody else's things, might become envious. I might become desirous of those things. But here's how the Amplified renders it. Philippians 2 and 4 in the Amplified. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen. That's not an envy. That's not a desiring, you know, what somebody else has, but it's interest, it's concern, it's recognizing I've got to help those individuals who are hurting. And not ignoring, not a willful unawareness, but look for those opportunities. David was pursued by Saul, and quite a story. Anointed king, but the current king was wanting to take his life, and he's dodging javelins, he's fleeing across the countryside. He had opportunities to eliminate the problem. He could have taken care of it. But, he was convicted, and he followed through. Then, when the problem was eliminated, David looked for someone from Jonathan's family to show kindness. Is there anyone from Jonathan's family left? And sure enough, Mephibosheth. Amen. David told him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." So Mephibosheth was invited to eat at David's table, and as well as having his family lands restored. So kindness. Amen. James writes about a little member, but has a lot of power. And the little rhyme, I don't know where the little rhyme came from. I don't know if it's a nursery rhyme or what. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names or words will never hurt me. Get clobbered by a dictionary, I guarantee you, it's going to hurt. But the idea here is, I can shrug off the words. Oh, sometimes those words echo in your mind. So we want to be careful. Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's a lot of power. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's fruit that comes from the power of the tongue, and obviously life is what we want to encourage, because words and names can be painful. It can be lasting. So we want to edify. We want to build up, not tear down. Amen. Proverbs 10 and 32 in the Living Bible. Proverbs 10, 32 say, "The upright speak what is helpful. The wicked speak rebellion." Now here's a question. I was reading and I found this question. If God gave you a dollar for every kind word you said and took away a dollar for every unkind word you said, would you be rich or poor? So, obviously, if you're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, kindness, you're going to be rich. Amen. It's just, it just follows. Because a fruit on the inside is going to be there. Joseph and the ups and downs of his life are pretty amazing to read. But finally, he's up. He's elevated. And what I like to see in that is, he did not have payback on his mind. He could have paid the Potiphar's back. He could have paid the butler back who let him languish in jail for 2 years. And he could have paid his brothers back. Oh, man, could he ever. Now, he did test them a bit, but he let them know God meant it for good. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God can turn evil into good, especially for the salvation of others. Genesis 50 and 20, "As for you," he told his brothers, "you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save," everybody say save, "save much people alive." That's our business. The Lord came to seek and to save. Joseph is talking about literal, saving from starvation, saving from annihilation, being obliterated. But we're recognizing saving from the eternal standpoint. Amen. And then he told his brothers, "Fear not." That's kindness. That's kindness. Praise God. So, being sympathetic, likewise, in times of grief, and we all experience those aspects of grief, and we encounter others who are experiencing, and we feel so inadequate with our words. We feel like, you know, some phrases are trite and cliche, and we don't want to share that, but oftentimes your presence means more than words. And thank God we're able to share that. The Bible tells us, rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. Are tears a sign of weakness? No. No. Be strong enough to be sympathetic. Amen. Jesus wept at the tomb and then called Lazarus forth. A Christ with great compassion. Praise God. I looked up sympathetic. I just thought, I wonder what sympathetic means. So I've got this little device on my phone, and I looked it up. Sympathetic has a lot of definitions, but it includes these three words: understanding, generosity, and compassion. I was surprised in the generosity part. Sympathy, generosity. And if you're like me, you think generosity in terms of finance, in terms of, but no, it's more than that. It really is more than that. Like today, you brought those treats, and that was generous. That was helpful. Amen. So we thank the Lord that understanding, generosity, and compassion are included in demonstration of sympathy and kindness. Because a wife needs help from a kind husband. Children need understanding from a kind father. Teens especially need patience, assurance, and help with self-esteem. That's a pretty, you know, pretty tough period of life. we don't remember it probably too well, but it was a lot of things going on. I came to the Lord when I was 15, and there was a lot of changes. And my family didn't quite understand what was going on. And I'm afraid I wasn't in my commitment to the Lord, in my stubbornness of serving God. I'm afraid I wasn't a very good witness at times. I was unbending, you know, I'm going to go to church. Doesn't matter what else is going on. And but to recognize the changes that were, you know, that were going on, and my mom was, you know, I don't mean to present the picture that they were totally opposed and so on. They weren't totally supportive, but they weren't totally opposed either. And eventually, praise God, I made it through. But Jesus showed kindness to make a difference. Titus 3 and 4. I am not going to get done here, but that's all right. Titus 3 and 4. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now, you got to read verse 3 to understand why the conjunction but is included there. But after that, the kindness. After what? Titus verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Very much in need of a change. New birth, a huge requirement there. And the love and kindness of Jesus changed us. Praise God. We thank the Lord for that sympathy that he extended to us. Now, sympathy and straightforwardness are not, they're not opposites. Being straightforward is important too. Being candid is an act of kindness. You know, consider this. The doctor examines you and finds that you have an unhealthy condition. And he's very concerned. What if he says, you need to have surgery to correct this problem? Yeah, we don't jump up and down about that. But we recognize that's treatment. That's necessary. But what if he says, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. You'll be all right. Which of the two is the kind statement? Obviously, it's the one that shows concern. The one that identifies a need for a fix, a correction, a change. And that candidness is important. Dr. Dobson wrote about love being tough. It's hard to do. But love has to be tough. Sometimes doing the tough thing and not going the easy way is what's required. Tough boundaries based on love and respect. And he wrote particularly in marriage, but it has application in a lot of other ways too. Parents and children, teachers and classrooms, and so on. John Maxwell writes extensively on leadership, gave this advice about working with employees or team members. He said, care enough to confront. Care enough about the situation, about that person that you have to confront the situation. And he calls it carefrontation, not confrontation. Carefrontation. He worked with it that way. And being spontaneous is something that is important too. We see a need for kindness and maybe put it off. Now be spontaneous. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And then the way Paul ended that verse, Galatians 6:10, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Thank God we belong to this household. Amen. It's a big household. Praise God. It's a household of faith. And Paul is saying, look for an opportunity. You know, that connects with Philippians. Look for the interests of others. Amen. And the family of faith will definitely appreciate it. Social media is such a tremendous opportunity to connect positively. It's unfortunate that there are so many negative things that go on, so many awful things that go on. My word, some of the language and so on is just really disappointing. But you could use it to show kindness. The texts and the emails and others have been around a long time. There's a whole bunch of other ways to connect that I'm not familiar with. But use those. Amen. Emojis are probably going to get old eventually. People get tired of seeing them, but a smiley face is good to see, and all the other expressions that that are in there. But you know what? Checking the mail and getting a note, getting a card, that's still pretty magic. That's still pretty nice to open the envelope and read the little note. It doesn't have to be anything huge. You know, I know cards are expensive, so just a little sticky note. That might be tacky, I guess. No pun intended. The idea is you're thinking about that person. You're wanting to let them know you love them. You're praying for them and so on. A short note can be so meaningful because of the action that you're showing, the favor that you're seeing. Because Paul said, as we have therefore opportunity. Amen. That's so, so important. The Good Samaritan that the Lord told about, the man being robbed, left half naked, half dead on the side of the road. The priest, the Levite, passed by. The Samaritan saw him and had compassion. Treated his wounds, put him on his animal, took him to an inn, gave the innkeeper money to take care of him, promised, when I come back, if you've expended any more than that, I'll pay up. I'll take care of it. Amen. And then the Lord asked, who is neighbor unto him that fell? And the Pharisee couldn't say the Samaritan, but he did identify he that showed mercy. That's kindness. And the Lord said, go thou and do likewise. Amen. We'll stop with this. Oh, no. Look at that. I only have a half a page left. Can I finish? Okay. What would you identify as being the number one enemy of kindness? The number one enemy or hindrance to kindness. What would you say is the main problem? Thomas?
Being offended.
Being offended and pulling back and saying, "Ooh, I'm not gonna get burned again." Yeah, the mic.
Selfishness.
And that's what Philippians Paul was talking about. You know, don't just look at your own interests. Don't just look at your own stuff. That's selfishness. Look for the needs of others. Other hands here, Sister Glover.
Apathy.
You know, college students, professor reading along there and talked about apathy and mentioned it several times. And one of the other students nudged the one kind of dozing there next to him and said, what does he mean by apathy? And the other kind of shrugged and said, who cares? My wife calls those preacher jokes that are lame. But anyway, you get the idea. We can't be apathetic. Sister Sherry.
Ungrateful.
If we're not grateful for what the Lord has done for us, we're not going to see the extension or the need to be kind to somebody else or to recognize how wonderful it is to experience this exceeding riches of his grace, that he's going to show his kindness to us. Amen. And how it continues on and on and on and on. If we're ungrateful, it more than likely you're not going to share it with somebody else. Sister Maria. Okay. Just a total opposite of moving, you know, the offense. You let it sit there, let it boil, let it get worse and worse, and then hatred starts to be manifest. Now, that's the devil's work, isn't it? That's the fruit that the devil wants us to key in on. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. And so we have to choose, and demonstrate. Any other great comments? Busyness. That's the one I came up with, busyness. And it just, we're too busy. But Remember Paul saying, as we have therefore opportunity. The opportunity's there, jump in. Amen. But we're too busy. We're just so caught up in everything that we've got to do. But don't be so busy that you can't be kind. Because everybody needs kindness. Amen. And we don't need the governor to declare a day of kindness. We don't need the president to make that declaration. You know, Valentine's Day, a day of kindness, a day of sweets and treats and kind words and flowers and you know, it's nice. It's nice. I enjoy that. When I taught school, that was the party I enjoyed the most. Because there was just a lot of good feeling, a lot of positive stuff that was going on in the classroom. Of course, we had, you know, we had goodies and we had lots of stuff going on, but everybody was smiling. Everybody was doing good. Don't just let it be one day. Let that kindness be all year. Amen. The day doesn't have to be as special in order for you to do something special. Amen. Many opportunities to be kind in your marriage, in your home, at the workplace, in your school, at church. Amen. At church, a smile, you know, a spoken word, shaking hands, being friendly. There are as many ways to show kindness as there are people who need it. Quite a variety. Amen. And thank God that the Lord can help us to be kind because he wants that fruit to be manifest. Amen. Because you're different. Amen. The Romans thought that the word for Christ, Christos, they confused it sometimes with the word Christos. And Christos is Christ. Christos is kind. They put them together. Remember the three languages that are on the cross? Greek, Latin, Hebrew. And the only ones that complained about what was on the cross were the Hebrews. As Brother Woodward explained, they knew what was being proclaimed there. And they wanted to deny that Jesus is the king. The Greeks and the Latins, they didn't care. But when it came to identifying Christ and kindness, they put the words together. Love in any language. That's so important. Now, stand with me. We'll just close here. And I'll ask Brother Churchill for any additional thoughts or comments here on this aspect of being the fruit of the Spirit and kindness. Here's what I want to leave you with. Be the good news so that you can share the good news. Amen. Make it visible. And make it obvious. Praise God that you know that power is there, that blessing is there, and that strength is there, that fruit is there. Amen. And because this world is sadly lacking. You know, my message on Sunday, I left out a huge point. Can't believe I did that. But the point I wanted to make was, you know, Gamaliel talking about Theudas and Judas, and he didn't say Jesus. And we're living in the same kind of society that's going to talk about Che Guevara, you know, saying he's like Jesus Christ. Somebody said, he's not like Jesus Christ. I saw him shoot his own friend. You know, the revolutionary from South America. And a lot of things, oh, look at this, oh, look at that. Our society is not going to lift up the Lord. They're not going to. You and I can do that. You and I have to do that. That's the only way they're going to know. Amen. We let them know, and then we show what God has done in our lives. Amen. All right, any additional thoughts, Brother Churchill? Yep. Somebody else making the statement, and you have an additional comment. What he said. Praise God. Let's come and pray for just a minute here before we head downstairs. Praise God. We thank you. Thank you so much for being faithful to the house of the Lord, faithful to the Word of God, faithful to worship, faithful to give. Just so many aspects here that your faithfulness touches and demonstrating to a world that does not understand the good things of God or how that can be incorporated into our lives. And the Lord has done that work for us, and we can be a demonstration of His power and His might. Paul talked about, I want your faith to stand, not in the wisdom of men, but in the demonstration and power of the Spirit. Amen. And that's what we want to step into again and again. Not my ability, not my words, not my wisdom, but the Lord. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to use us, empower us, help us to show that fruit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.